Beginning at verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations and planted our fathers. You crushed the peoples and made our fathers flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. You are my King and my God, who decrees victories for Jacob. Through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. I do not trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. But now you have rejected and humbled us. No longer go out with our armies. You made us retreat before the enemy, and our adversaries have plundered us. You gave us up to be devoured like sheep and have scattered us among the nations. You sold your people for a pittance, gaining nothing from their sale. You have made us a reproach to our neighbors, the scorn and derision of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations. The peoples shake their heads at us. My disgrace is before me all day long, and my face is covered with shame at the taunts of those who reproach and revile me because of the enemy who is bent on revenge. All this happened to us, though we had not forgotten you or been false to your covenant. Our hearts had not turned back, our feet had not strayed from your path, but you crushed us and made us a haunt for jackals and covered us over with deep darkness. If we had forgotten the name of our God or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God have discovered it, since he knows the secrets of the heart? Yet for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Awake, O Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust, our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and help us. Redeem us because of your unfailing love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And to hand over to Rob now.
Well, good morning. Please do keep that passage open in front of you, or if you've got your Bibles, yeah, open them, keep that open, because it'll be helpful as we work our way through. We're going to simply go through the psalm, and then we're going to sing, and then we're going to come back and then just sort of apply it to our lives. So, but before we do that, why don't we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it speaks to us. And Lord, it resembles us. And Lord, we can place ourselves in amongst it. Lord, I pray most of all that we would see Jesus from it this morning, and we would have him speak to us. So Father, come now by your Spirit. Help us understand and help us implant these words in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, according to the organization Help the Persecuted, every 6 minutes, a Christian is killed for following Jesus. Every 6 minutes. One of the articles on the website explains how three Christians that they had been ministering to, Cyrus, Hazin, and Yaron, have all been brutally killed. I'll spare you all the details, but Cyrus was left on his doorstep for his family to deal with. Hazin and Yaron were both killed by their family. Hazin was hung. Yaron was thrown off a building. It begs the question, doesn't it? Why? Lord, where are you? These are your people. How can this happen? It's not just the stories like that that we hear. It's impregnated in our own life, isn't it? There are things that happen that we just can't weigh up. Life goes pear-shaped. Life gets heavy. Illnesses, injustices, heartaches happen, and we think, Lord, where are you? I don't need to ask you, do I? You can understand your own suffering, whether it's happened in the past, whether it's happening in the present, but it will definitely happen in the future. And we ask, Lord, where are you? What's going on? And this is where the people are in Psalm 44. Here we have a psalm. It's an enough is enough sort of psalm. Where the sons of Korah, they pour out an honest and genuine, raw plea to God for help. They don't hold back. The gist of the psalm is this. I think it should come up on the screen. The gist of the psalm is this. Lord, we've heard about you. We trust you. But where are you? Please help us. Lord, we've heard about you. Verse 1, just look down. Lord, we've heard with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. It's a gardening image, isn't it? In the past, Lord, you cleared the way. You torn out the old weeds. You've turned over the hard ground and you planted our ancestors and they flourished. You were with them. It's a picture of a beautiful, strong, healthy tree. And he's saying that you did this. You planted and you flourished. Verse 3, it was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you love them. He says it's three things. Your right hand, meaning you personally and intricately were involved in their victory. Your right arm, meaning it's your power and your might. And it's the light of your face, meaning your blessing was upon them. Your goodness shined on them, for you love them. You see what he's saying? Lord, for our fathers, you've done this amazing. Our fathers have done this amazing job in teaching us about you, about who you are, how you've handed down the old story, how they've taught us about the kind of God that you are, and what you've done in the past, how they flourished under your blessing. And we trust you. We trust in this. Verse 4. You are my God and my king, who decrees victories for Jacob. Through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. Verse 6, I put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory, but you give us the victory over our enemies. Our adversaries are put to shame. In God we make our boast all day long, and we praise your name forever. There's a resounding confidence, isn't there? In God, in the God that they have heard about. They put no confidence in themselves. They depend completely on God. Their theology is spot on. God saves, or as Jonah would put it, salvation belongs to the Lord. And they trust this. They trust in this God. But the problem is, they don't see that. They don't experience that anymore. And so the rest of the psalm is really the sons of Korah scratching their heads thinking, where are you? Where is this God? If you are so good, where are you? Because life is terrible. So just think, I think when we read verses 1 to 8, I think you can read this in a way that's all trumpets, fanfares, timpani. It's all major chords and very triumphant. But I think when we read verses 1 to 8, we need to have in view that there's a little discord in there. Because of what happens next in the psalm. The rest of the psalm is ugly. It's not easy. Read from verse 10. You've rejected and humbled us. You've made us retreat in verse 10 before our enemies. Verse 11, you gave us up like sheep. You sold us into slavery and gained nothing. You've made us a reproach. You've made us a byword to the world. I live in disgrace in verse 15, and my face is covered with shame. It's not pretty. And this is the tone of the psalm. We would say that they are at the end of their tether. Yeah? They're at the end of the tether. They've had enough. They're frustrated. They're confused. And their big issue is in verse 17. This is where the protest really comes from. All this came upon us, though we had not forgotten you. We had not been false to your covenant. Our hearts had not turned back. Our feet had not strayed from your path. But you crushed us, and you made us a haunt for jackals. You covered us with deep darkness. Lord, we've stood by you. We are faithful to you. We trust you. We worship you. So why are our lives in such a miserable state? Why are things so terrible? We haven't sinned. We haven't gone astray. We haven't got involved with false gods in verse 21 and 20 and 21. You'd have known that if we had. But you know that we haven't. We've stood by your covenant. See, they're not being punished for something that they've done wrong. It's exactly the opposite. Because they have been faithful to God and stood by God, their lives are in such a state. He says in verse 22, yet for your sake we face death all day long and are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. They can't weigh it up. Life doesn't make sense. Lord, we've heard about you, how good you are, how glorious you are, how you save. We trust you, but where are you? And so what do? They pray to God. Awake, Lord. Why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. And so the imagery is completely opposite, isn't it? Lord, we've heard how you planted your people in days gone by, how your people flourished with the light of your face upon them. But now, for us, it's like you've hidden your face. We've dried up, we've wilted, and we cling to the ground. So, Lord, where are you? Wake up, he says. Wake up. Well, of course, God doesn't sleep. But it's as if it feels like he has gone to sleep. Rise up, help us, rescue us because of your unfailing love, your covenant love, your faithful promise-keeping love. Lord, rise up and help us. It's not a comfortable psalm, is it? The people aren't in a good place, let's say. They say, Lord, we've heard about you. We trust you, but where are you? Where are you? Come and help us. Well, that's the psalm. What we're going to do is sing. And then we're going to come back and see how these things apply for us. It's a heavy psalm, isn't it? It's a psalm that, when you think about it, it could quite easily be left out of the Bible. It's one of those things that you wonder why it's there, don't you, in a way? Why include this? Well, I think there are three things that we are to take away from this passage, this psalm. First thing is this, that you will suffer, but your suffering won't separate. You will suffer. Suffering in the Bible is a guaranteed reality. See, the Bible doesn't teach this idea of karma. You know, this idea that if you are a good person, if you do good things, then you won't, bad things won't happen to you. You know, the worse your sufferings, the worse your sin, and that kind of idea. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's a horrible idea. You know, try telling that to someone who is going through the depths of suffering. Well, this is because of something you've obviously done wrong. That's not good. And there's the other idea, you might want to call it the God channel idea, that teaches that if you become a Christian, all your problems, all your issues, everything will go away. You know what I mean? Roll your problems onto Jesus, and he'll roll them right away. And you'll be healthy, you'll be wealthy, and you'll be prosperous, and you'll live a beautiful life, and nothing will ever, ever, ever go wrong. The printer will work every single time you want to use it. I can't say that this morning, because it didn't work for me. But anyway, you know, your life will just be full of blessing and nothing will ever go wrong. That's utter rubbish. It's garbage. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, and we know that for ourselves as Christians, don't we? That is just not true. It's not true. Here, they are opposed, they're rejected, worthless, disgraced, crushed. Yet they've been faithful to God, and it's their faithfulness to God that has brought them so low. It's their faithfulness to God that has brought them so low. You will suffer. But I wonder if that sounds familiar. Does it sound familiar, that? Your faithfulness to God has brought them so low. It's just like Jesus, isn't it? Who, being God's son, perfectly obeyed the Father, perfectly submitted to his will. And yet, just read from verse 8, or scan your eyes from verse 8, he was rejected, he was plundered, he was devoured, he was sold for pittance, he was scorned, he was disgraced, he was reviled, crushed, he was covered with deep darkness as he hung on the cross. And as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The light of God's face is gone. If it's true for the sons of Korah, if it's true for Jesus, it will be true for us as Christians. True for us as Christians that we will suffer. 101 discipleship. That if you become a Christian, you will experience suffering and hardship. Romans 8, verse 17 says, Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If we indeed share in his sufferings, that we may also share in his glory. We are sharing in his sufferings. But later on, and this is the beautiful thing, Romans 8 goes on, and he actually quotes this psalm. He says this later on in Romans 8. He's talking to Christians who are persecuted in their own time under the emperor Nero. He goes on to say this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or danger or nakedness or sword? All these different kinds of suffering. As it is written in Psalm 44, verse 20, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Are these sufferings going to separate us from the love of Christ? No, he says. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor present, nor future, nor any powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You see what Paul is saying? You will all face suffering, like you read in Psalm 44, but is that going to separate you from the love of God? Is that going to separate you from God's unfailing love? No, it's not. Nothing can separate you. You are more than conquerors in Christ that loves you. You will suffer, but in Christ, you will never stop being loved by God. First thing, you will suffer, but your suffering won't separate. And the second thing, you will suffer, but Christ is with you. And I find this so fascinating in the psalm. I think if Jesus was to read this psalm, he would know that it's about him and the church, his bride. Last week, we had a very singular psalm, wasn't it? Why are you downcast, O my soul? And right the way through, it's David having a good chat with himself and God. Well, this, we've got a plural psalm. It's for the people. Verse 1, we have heard. It's a corporate psalm. And yet, every now and again, you hear an individual. It's like there is one person standing in front of the rest, standing ahead, going ahead, a spokesperson. I wonder if you picked up on that in the psalm. Just look at verse 4. You are my king, my God, who decrees victories over Jacob. Verse 5, through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. Verse 6, I put no trust in my bow, my sword, and I do it does not bring me victory. Verse 7, but you give us the victory, so on. And then later on in verse 14, you have made us a byword among the nations, and the people shake their heads at us. Verse 15, my disgrace is before me all day long. My face is covered with shame at the taunts of those who reproach me because of the enemy who is bent on revenge. As I said, you can just picture Jesus reading this, knowing that ultimately it's about him and his church, him and his people. Here's Jesus standing ahead and with his people, sympathizing with us in our weakness, as Helena read at the start of the service from Hebrews 4, pleading with us. For some of you, you may at this moment be down in the gutter, down in the dust, down in the dumps. There may be something in your life, something on your heart, where you're thinking, where are you, Lord? Well, in Christ, he's right by you. That's a beautiful thing to know, isn't it? In your suffering, he's in the muck and the mire. He's alongside you. The second person of the Trinity, God of God, who spoke and he created life, goes ahead of you and is with you in your suffering. He pleads for you. So you will suffer, but Christ is with you. And then lastly, you will suffer, so pray. So pray. When life kicks you down, when you are at the end of your tether, and no words, no actions just seem to be enough, you can be honest with God. And you can see from the psalm, they don't exactly hold back. Look at verse 23. Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? It's almost like he's trying to command the Lord, isn't he? He's almost trying to, that's where he's at. He's being honest. Awake, comma, Lord, exclamation mark. Awake. Rouse yourself, exclamation mark. Do not reject us forever. So I think sometimes we can treat God, when we're there, we can think, I'm not going to turn to God because I'm not in the right place. I'm not where God wants me to be in my heart, So the Lord doesn't obviously want to hear me. And this psalm is saying, cry out to him. Be genuine, be real, be honest, be open. Call upon him. Plea with him. Plea with him for what? Help. Verse 26. Rise up and help us. Redeem us because of your unfailing love. Rise up and help us. Ultimately, we know where our help comes from. We know that Christ is with us in our suffering, alongside us in our suffering. But also we know that he will help us, don't we? There is coming a time in the future where God and Christ will help us. And that's our prayer. Our prayer is Revelation 22:20. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and rescue us. Come and save us. Come and save us from this world. Bring in your new heaven. Bring in your new earth, where he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, where there will be no more death, where there will be no more mourning, crying, pain. The old things will pass away and the new will come. Lord, come and help us and rescue us. He has done already. He's with us in our suffering. And we look forward to that beautiful day when all of the mourning, all of the pain will be gone. And we will be with him in beauty, harmony, fellowship for eternity. That's our prayer. I wonder, when was the last time you sat down and prayed for the Lord to come and return? Something that we can miss out on, isn't it? So, you will suffer. Got my points. Mine's gone blank. You will suffer, but it will not separate. Secondly, you will suffer, but Christ is with you. And thirdly, you will suffer, so pray. I think they're the three things that the psalm pulls out. And I think they're the three things that we can go away implanting in our hearts, especially in times like this, as hard as they are. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that in Christ we are more than conquerors in our suffering. Lord, we thank you that in Christ you are with us. Lord, we thank you that in Christ we await a future saving. Lord, we await your kingdom. And Lord, I pray if there is anybody here that is going through suffering, if there's anybody listening that is suffering, Lord, I pray that they would be real with you and genuine with you, and they would cry out to you in their mess. And Lord, that you would speak to them, that you would reveal yourself to them, and that you would be with them in Christ. So, Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Rob. And now we come to the end of the service. Thank you for coming. If you're wanting to come next week, then the same process as has been operating, please email at admin@stsimonsouthport.org.uk to let us know that you're coming. Really, it's particularly helpful for those preparing for the children's work. And I encourage you to come. Those of you who have not yet come to one of our services, we invite you to worship with us and to use the time as well that we have after the service to catch up with each other, to find out where each of us is at in our journey with the Lord, in our ordinary life. So as we come to the end, we come to the blessing. The love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. And we conclude the service by saying together the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. If you want to come straight out, you can. If you want to listen to the band play, and we thank you again for the work that you've done and leading us. They're going to be singing Great is Your Faithfulness. And it's a perfect opportunity, isn't it, to think again over the words that Rob has been sharing with us. We do suffer in this world. We suffer in our lives. We are not separated from God through Christ. And we have the right to approach God and ask him to awake, to ask him to come and to take us into a new life.